today are scriptures in Numbers chapter 19, if you'd like to turn there. Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 19. We'll start with verse 1, if you'd like to turn there. But speaking about breakfast, once upon a time, a cow and a chicken were walking down the street, and they came upon this sign. And on the sign they came upon, it was a church sign. And it was advertising a garage sale and a breakfast, which was going to be held in a few days. And at the bottom of the sign, there was a menu given, and it read, "Steak and eggs will be served at 8 o'clock a.m. And the chicken, he turned to the cow, and he said, "See, even us small, smelly animals can help the work of the church." "Well, yes," said the cow, "but yours is only a contribution. Mine is a total sacrifice." But, you know, and then that's kind of what I want to preach today to you on about is the subject of a limited edition sacrifice, because I assure you that's exactly what it was. If you turn to your Bibles, like I said, to Numbers chapter 19, we'll begin there. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the sons of Israel that they bring to you an unblemished heifer, in which is no defect, on which a yoke has never been placed. Verse 3, you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be brought outside the camp and be slaughtered in its presence. Next, Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent meeting 7 times. And then the heifer shall be burned in the sight, its hide and its flesh and its blood with its refuse shall be burned. In verse 6, the priest shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet material and cast it into the midst of the burning heifer. And the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in the water, and afterward into the camp, but the priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall also wash his clothes in water and bathe his body, and shall be unclean until evening. Now a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside of the camp in a clean place. And the congregation of the sons of Israel shall keep it as water to remove impurity. It is purification from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And it shall be a perpetual statute to the sons of Israel and to the alien who sojourns among them." This limited edition, this animal, as a matter of fact, this red heifer, is talked about in the scriptures. There have only been 4 of them historically in hundreds of years, because the qualifications are so great and it's so rare to find a perfect red heifer. The rabbinical priests of Israel are constantly looking for this perfect sacrifice. And even now, this perfect red heifer cannot have spots. It cannot have any blemishes. So many qualifications separated from the fold, and it's a rare, rare thing. It's valuable because it's rare. And if you want something to be cheapened in value, then let it just become common, including you or I. Because anytime something becomes common, it loses its value. And that's why we need to understand the value of the red heifer was, in fact, that it was limited. You couldn't just find it anywhere. It was a limited edition, I guess you would say. Like cars have limited editions, and paintings, they'll say it's a limited edition, or that's how valuable something is. It's according to how rare it is. You know, in a generation that says, "Do everything," or "Have sex with anybody," or I want you young people here, to all the youth that are here today, that if something can be cheapened, it's cheapened in value when it becomes common. But it's powerful and valuable when it's rare. And the enemy knows this. It's not always good to be like everybody else. There's something powerful about being different, about being rare, about being kept. Deciding not to fit in with just anybody or everybody at any price. Your value is in your rarity, not in your commonness with everybody else. And so in Scripture, what we see is when a sin is committed, particularly when a priest touched something dead, which is a type of the old dead nature or the old man, which is dead. That which is dead or that which is in the past, that which is dead is over. When you go back and touch something that is over, something that is dead or something that is in the past, and you keep touching it, it had power, according to the Scripture, to touch the past. To keep touching old dead relationships and past sins and past addictions and past offenses and past hurts. You keep picking up those hurts and touching those hurts, and it brings an uncleanliness to you in the present. And so God knew that, and He knew that we couldn't live in the past attached to those dead things. And so He says, I'm going to come up with a remedy. He said, if you find a red heifer and you take it to the priest is to do three things. He's to get some cedar wood. He's to get, and this is so strange, cedar wood. And he is to get some hyssop, and he is to get scarlet wool, take it outside of the camp with the red heifer, slay the red heifer, burn it completely along with the cedar wood, throw the cedar wood into the fire, throw the hyssop into the fire, throw the scarlet wool into the fire, and then let them burn up together completely. And what a beautiful type of picture this is of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion that we see in this story. A limited edition. We see Jesus Christ, a spotless Savior, one without guile, the one without sin. Not one time can you spot His life with evil or with sin. He was the sinless Lamb of God. We see Him who was separated from the fold, separated from His brothers, taken alone, separated from the flock, brought to the priest. And this is a significant point. Because the reason that the Romans and Pilate did not sentence Jesus and kill Him and execute Him on the cross like they so wanted Him to do, the Jews were saying and the high priests were saying, crucify Him. And Pilate, if you remember, if you read the Scriptures, took his hands and washed his hands in the water, and said, I find no fault in Him. Why did this have to happen? It had to happen because you need to understand that they crucified 2 to 4 people a day under the Roman Empire. And if they had taken Jesus and just crucified Him under Pilate's sentence, then it would just have been a normal execution. But the moment Pilate washed his hands and said, I find no fault in Him, do with Him what you would want Him to do, do with Him what you want to do with Him, the high priest then said, let His blood be on us. And so now it moves from the Roman government, and if he would have died under the Roman government, it would have been a murder, an execution. But now that the high priest had possession of his life, it now becomes a sacrifice, you see. Because only the high priests could offer Him up as a sacrifice. It was the priests who said, crucify Him and scourge Him. It was the priests who ordered His blood to be shed. Had the Roman soldiers just nailed Jesus to the cross, His blood wouldn't have had the power it needed to have for you and I. But when the priests offered Him up, then suddenly the priests were offering up the perfect sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we see the priest had to carry the wood in the story of the red heifer being offered. He would take the heifer outside the gates who had the wood. And the priest, our priest, had to carry it. Jesus Christ, our high priest, carried the wood of the cross on his back. And then we see the hyssop, the priest, the heifer, not only had to have the cedar wood, he had to have the hyssop. And when Jesus was on the cross, the Roman soldier took the hyssop and he dipped it into the gall. And he offered it up and he pushed the vinegar to Jesus' lips when he said, "I thirst." And now suddenly we see this beautiful picture of Calvary. We have the cedar wood. We have the hyssop being pushed up to his mouth when he cries, "I thirst," hanging between two thieves. But what about the scarlet? What about the scarlet wool? If you look at the foot of the cross at Calvary, and the soldiers are gambling over the scarlet robe, thousands of years before Calvary came about, it was prophesied in the story of the red heifer, a beautiful picture of Calvary. Notice that the high priest had to burn this offering, this one kind of animal, this red heifer, this limited edition. He had to offer it up outside of the gate, outside of the walls of the city. Jesus, this limited edition, this one of a kind, would die outside of the city. Because if the Jews would have crucified Jesus Christ inside of the walls of Jerusalem, they would have owned him. Religion would have owned him. Their religion would have said, if you're not Jewish, you can't get to this Savior. Walls would have represented the walls of religion. Men would have said, you have to climb over to get God. But the reason Jesus died outside of the camp is because he knew that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we could never get over those walls. And so Jesus says, you don't have to come to where I am. They can't box my love in. They can't tell me who I can love and who I can't love and who I can forgive and who I can't forgive. And since they won't let you in, let me go outside of their little box of religion. I'll go out to the prostitute. I'll go out to the drug addict. I'll go out to the liar. I'll go out to the despondent. And I'll go out to the broken. I'll go outside of the gate. And he came where you are, and he came where I am. And he didn't wait until we measured up, until we could come into his presence. And this blessed Savior said, when I die, I'm going to die in a place where anybody, whosoever will, can get to me. I refuse to die in a religious box. He died outside of the system. He didn't want a religious wall around him. And so when the red heifer was burned, the high priest would throw the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet robe into the fire, and it would all burn up together, and suddenly the sacrifice changes forms. Suddenly it doesn't look the same. It changes forms in the fire, but it's more powerful in death than it was in life. And because now, through its death, it can only be contained in one place and one time. And the truth is, when it changed form, it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus did when he was alive here on earth walking. He was in one form, but when he died, he changed forms. He said, I'm sending another comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's expedient that I go away, but I promise you that when I die, I'm sending someone more powerful. I'm sending the Holy Spirit who will convict you, who will lead you, who will guide you, who will comfort you, who will help you, who will anoint you, who will bless you, who will equip you, who will melt you, who will mold you into the image of a vessel that God can use. And so I'm going to become more powerful in my death than when I was alive. And I want to say to you today that you cannot know the Lord until you go through the fire like He really wants you to know Him. You may know Him as Savior, but until you go through the fire, you're going to find out He has many forms. He's not just Savior, He's Healer. He's not just Healer, He can form into Provider. But you don't learn this until you go through the fire. He's the Comforter. He's the Burden Bearer. He's the Lover of my soul. He's the Friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you don't know this. You don't learn this till you go through the fire. Because it's when you go through the fire, you find the fourth man is in the fire with you, and you're not in there alone. And some of you have had a personal experience that has taken you through the fire. But you have now something that once you've come through the fire, that nobody can take from you. You've seen Him in an image and a way, and He's taken on a form that you didn't see Him before, and that you didn't know Him like He was that way until you went through the fire. And had certain people stayed in your life, you wouldn't know Him like you now know Him. And when they bailed out, He jumped in. And I'm thankful for the blood and for the fire. And if you're a Christian, and if you're a believer of Christ, and if you've invited Him into your life, you're going to go through the fire. Because we want the crowns, but we don't want the crosses. We want the beauty, but we don't want the ashes. We want the garment of praise, but we don't want the spirit of heaviness. But I just want to remind you today that if you're going through the fire, you cannot get the crowns without the cross. You cannot have the garment of praise without having to deal with the spirit of heaviness. And you cannot receive the beauty until you've gone through the ashes. So wherever you find yourself, you ought to realize He's Lord of all. He's God. He's Almighty. And He's conquered all. People need to understand that the miracle is in what you have left when the fire stops burning. Because you see, they took the ashes of the red heifer and they put it in a container. And from that point on, should someone sin, should the priest touch something in the past, if he touched a dead thing, something that was over, if he touched it, if he went back to the old dead works of the flesh, he didn't have to stay there and he didn't have to live in the past. Because He would sprinkle on it some water from the purification and those ashes, and He would sprinkle it 7 times from that which was unclean, and it would be pronounced clean. And the dead thing would be forgiven. And He would be released from it. God never performs miracles in what you lose. He performs miracles in what you have left. People who value what they have left look forward. People who value what they've lost look back. What kind of person are you? What kind of person are you going to be? Some of you have been touching dead things. You're always going back to the same mistake you've made. Some terrible choice you've made. Some sin you've committed. Something where your life really went bad. You're living in the past and you don't understand that when you touch dead things, it robs you of your power. Your history can destroy your destiny if you don't learn how to get cleansed from it. Your history can destroy your destiny if you don't learn how to get cleansed from it. And that's why we have a lot of God's beautiful people, a lot of God's beautiful children who walk in the temple, who walk in church Sunday after Sunday with their heads hanging low. The music starts. The singing starts. They want to sing, but then they start to feel this ominous presence start to shroud them and start clouding in on them that seems to whisper in their ear or in their spirit, if they only knew. Many across the nation attend Sundays hoping perhaps for some type of redemption, hoping perhaps that something would happen to change them. And I'm here to tell you today that that something is called repentance. It's called forgiveness. It's called redemption. It's called restitution. It's called healing. God has now made you a limited edition through Jesus Christ. A beautiful thing. So why go back to being something common? You know, a priest couldn't touch dead things. You're defiled by touching the past. You're defiling yourself by touching dead things in the past. The things are now over. Paul put it like this. This one thing I do. And I'm preaching to someone today. This one thing I do. I forget the things that are behind. Quit touching it. Quit talking about it. Quit thinking about it. Quit feeling it. Quit wearing it. Quit feeling guilty about it. Quit wearing condemnation from it. Quit wearing a guilty conscience about it. This one thing I do, I sprinkle it 7 times, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Put it under the blood and say, now in the name of Jesus, we forget that which is behind. And now move on, move forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the priest, like I said, was defiled from touching something in his past, going something back to something that was supposed to be over. Or if they touched a dead person who was connected with it, or by association with it, they defiled him. He could take those ashes and sprinkle it 7 times. Let me tell you what you have to do with something in your past, in your old nature. You see, those dead things are in reference to the new covenant, to the dead works of the flesh. Listen to this astonishing scripture in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, that just ties this all together now. For if the blood of bulls and goats, listen, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? Catch this. Cleanse your conscience from dead works. Some of you can hardly lift your hands without your conscience attacking you, reminding you of your past. And that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. He cleanses your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. You know, David messed up in the Bible. He had a baby with another man's wife. The baby got very sick. He fasted that the baby would live. And he prayed. And he did everything he could do. But when he heard that the child had died, he made a sudden change. Everybody say sudden change. And when the Holy Spirit tells you that something is over in your life, your past is over, your addiction is over, your failure is over, your mess up is over, you need to make a sudden change. You need to realize that now you have become a limited edition, a beautiful thing, a new picture, something of value. So David, he shaved himself, he washed himself, he put on fresh clothes, and he went to the temple, and he started worshiping God. So if a priest touches a dead thing, he takes those ashes, for it purifies you from that which is over. Dead relationships, dead mess-ups. Some of you have been stuck for years in the past. And the Lord sent me today to tell you that life's behind you. Life is not behind you, it's in front of you. And I'm telling you that the older you get, you have to hear this message. Because you want to go back and live here. You go back and you live here. And you go back and live here. But if God wanted you to go, if God had been through you with you back there, He would have wanted you to stay back there. But His word for you is to look ahead. Life is not behind you. Life is in front of you. It's not in the tombs. It's in front of you. Have you ever wondered why animal trainers choose a bar stool to put in front of them as the only thing between them, between lions and tigers inside of a closed cage? William H. Henson, an animal trainer, tells us why an animal trainers carry a stool when they go into a cage of lions and tigers. You tell your kids this when next time you go to a circus. They have their whips, of course. And of course, they got a pistol by their side. They're not stupid. But invariably, they carry a bar stool or a small stool. And Henson says it's the most important tool of a trainer. They say they hold their stool by the back and they thrust the legs forward in the face of an animal. They say those who know how to maintain the animal, they say focus, the animal tries to focus on all four of the legs at once. And the animal, in the attempt to focus on all four of the legs at once, it kind of forms a paralysis and kind of overwhelms the animal. And it becomes tame, becomes weak, disabled, because their attention is fragmented, trying to focus on all four of those legs. And that's what the enemy tries to do with a lot of God's children, who has the ability to render Satan powerless and all of his adversaries. And if you get a revelation of what I'm hearing today, what you're hearing today, you don't have to carry condemnation or a guilt or about a mess up in your life. And let me clue you in on something. You're a human being. And you're going to mess up. Even the most holiest ones among us mess up and have messed up. All have sinned and all of us have failed. And of all of us are guilty without the blood of Jesus Christ. But I don't have to live in this, and I don't have to live in that or the other. Because I've been cleansed with His sprinkling. And so have you. And so when the enemy brings up your past, just hit him with the blood, 7 times with the blood. And if the thief be found, he has to restore 7 times. And that's the message of the cross. And that's the message of the blood. And that's the message of how the blood can make you a limited edition, something of value, and make you a beautiful thing. So quit trying to measure up against other people when you're the one. You're the limited edition. If you've surrendered to Him as a living sacrifice, we don't have to live in that and do this or that. We don't have to be condemned. We don't have to come in feeling unworthy or guilty and good for nothing. Some of you have just let the enemy beat you down because some of the failures in your life. Just beat you down. And you're living in the past. If I would have just worked harder, I wouldn't have lost that job if I would have just worked harder. Maybe they would have let me keep it. But you don't know that. If I would have just tried, that marriage would have just stayed together. Maybe. But you don't know that. Well, the point is this. It's over. But God can begin a new thing today. Sprinkle the blood on it and move forward. Let God create something new. Let God create a limited edition and make beautiful things out of your life. What is your picture today? Are you going to remember the past? Are you going to keep holding that picture? Are you going to wad it up? Put it under the blood and move forward? That's what it's all about. If you've never put it under the blood, then today may be that day that you need to do that. And let God create a beautiful picture in your life. You know, your past, your sins, your things like that isn't the only thing you need to put under the blood. Today you may need healing. Today you may need prayer. Whatever you need today, don't go away from here empty-handed from what God has told you to put on your heart. We have counselors here, prayer today, whatever you need. Let God minister to you today, whatever spirit is leading on your heart, as we sing.
Of this pain, I springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust.
Beautiful things, and don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're not. Amen. You are a beautiful thing. We like to look forward here, and don't ever feel that you're judged, because we love you. We love you. Put it under the blood if the enemy ever tries to make you feel less than worthy, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your life. Today is that day you can have Him in your life if you don't have Him. Counselors will always be available. I'll be available. But don't let Him ever make you feel powerless. You are a child of God, son or daughter of the living God, if you have Jesus Christ. And when the enemy comes upon you, hit him with the blood. It's very powerful stuff. Very powerful stuff. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for the supreme sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all of our failures and all of our mess-ups. Thank you for the beautiful story foretold long ago, Calvary, of how we can see it beautifully played out. And thank you for that. Help us to remember that we are not powerless against the enemy. And how we fail and how we mess up, that is in Scripture that you promise us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sins. Help us to remember to come to you, to confess, and to keep cleanse. We praise you and we thank you for your beautiful name, beautiful life that you give us. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen.